Let us open up the scripture to Genesis chapter 5. We'll be reading from verse 24. Also, we'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 2, verse 5. So, Genesis chapter 5, verse 24 says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 5, O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And I paraphrase, O house of Emmanuel, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Tonight, I will be talking about a very, very common topic. You'll find a lot of sermons about it online. The walk with God. The walk with God. There is 343 verses in Scripture that have in them this word, walk. And that obviously shows us that walking was something very common in the times when the Scriptures were written. People were walking for longer distances, or walking for longer distances was something normal. If you didn't have a horse, a donkey, or a camel, and you had to travel from one village to another, from one city to another, from one country to another, God gave you two legs, and you started walking. Walking was a necessity. The legs were a mode of transport in those days. Things have changed. Now we do walk as well. We wake up, we walk into the garage, we step in our car, then we drive to our work, and then we get out of the car and we walk into the building. There is less walking nowadays, much less. And then when you drive in your car and you see people walking on the street, you envy them. You're like, I wish I had the time to go on a walk. Walking has become something recreational. Very often, at least in the area that I live, and I guess here, very often we see that. In the times when the Scriptures were written, in the times of Jesus, when people were walking, walking was a way of life. You were meeting people. You were sharing life while you were walking. You were having very interesting conversations while you were walking. You were learning things. There were teachers who were teaching, and they were walking around with their students and teaching them. Nowadays, if you walk and someone comes very close to you and walks close to you, you're going to look for your AirPods, right? And if you can't find your AirPods, you maybe hopefully find your phone at that point, and you'll call your mom, your dad, your friend, your neighbor. You call someone, because if that guy is too close to you, that's going to become weird. And if you watch too much crime documentaries, you might even start running, right? So the circumstances have changed a lot. But the fact remains, the Lord wants to walk with you. And we shall walk with God. We have to walk with God. So let's take a look at this topic tonight. And we'll be looking at two aspects, two characteristics of our walk with God. And then each one has a danger associated with it. First, we'd like to talk about God's election. The first thing that I'd like to tell you tonight in our walk with God is that God chose you. When you plan a trip, you think in your head, with whom am I going to go in this trip, right? Who's going to come with me? Who's going to walk with me? I'm going for a hike. Who's going to go with me? God chose you. Now you see, have you ever been invited to a party? Anyone here invited to a party? Most probably, most of you, just a little shy, I guess, or something. You don't know what a party is. A gathering of people where they share thoughts, and they have some good time eating good food and all that. So if you have been to a party before, you know, people are usually invited in groups sometimes, mass message, hey, all the youth, come to my house, we're having a party. Or, you know, someone calls you personally, says, hey, do you guys want to come over? And then you say, yeah, you know, but actually, as a matter of fact, you know, I have relatives from Romania over, just bring them as well. But, you know, those people, and they feel a little awkward at the party, you know. We're like, yeah, well, we came because, you know, we're visiting. We're the guys who are visiting this family. Now, when God chose you to walk with him, it was not a group text. Hey, you guys all walk with me. Hey, you, Emmanuel, walk with me. Oh, you're there as well. Yeah, yeah, I'm the 1,500th person in the group. I'm also there. No, God wants to walk with you personally. He wants to walk with you. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to talk to you while you're walking. He wants to have close relationship with you. He wants to walk with you. He chose you to walk with him. He didn't just choose a huge amount of people and you happen to be among them. He chose you personally. He called you by name. I love that about God, how he chose us personally to walk with him. God the Father, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago. Praise the Lord. And what I like about God is that he didn't just choose some elect people, some special people. God, this is what we teach in this church. We believe here at Emmanuel that God chose everyone. Amen? God chose all humanity. We don't agree here with our brothers and sisters from the Reformed Church and Presbyterian churches. They have a different theology based on this, but we here believe that God chose all of us. Amen? Praise God. In a Pentecostal church here. That's good. All right. 2. The walk with Jesus, the walk with God, starts when you receive God as Lord and Savior in your life. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The new has come. The walk with God has started. God does not kidnap you and take you with him on a walk. You have to actively choose, voluntarily choose to walk with him. He doesn't force you to walk with him. You have the choice to walk with God. And at the moment you say, Lord, I want to walk with you, that's when your walk with God starts. He invited you. He called you by name long time ago. Before you were born, he already knew you. And he says, walk with me. And the time comes when you make that choice to walk with the Lord. Then, thirdly, God doesn't walk with everyone in the same way. God had a way that he walked with Paul, but then he had a different way that he walked with Peter. Paul was the man who brought the gospel to the Gentiles. Peter brought it, at least in the beginning part of his ministry, more to the people around Jerusalem. God walks with people in a different way. God wanted David to be king, but he wanted Nathan to be a prophet. God walks differently, at a different pace maybe with others than he walks with you. That is normal. But what I love about God is that while he's walking with you, the other guy doesn't need to wait. Because, you know, God is busy with you right now. So he's waiting for his turn. The beautiful thing about God is he's omnipresent. He can walk with you. He can share life with you the same way, at the same time while he's sharing life with someone else, while he's walking next to someone else, while he's having fellowship with someone else. That's the beauty about our God. Amen? It's great to have such a God. 4, God is excited to walk with you. God is excited to walk with you. In Job chapter 1 verse 8 we read, then the Lord asked Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. God is having this conversation here with the devil, and he says, have you seen Job? Kind of like, I take joy in walking with Job. I take joy in walking with Job. Look at Job. Look at the way he lives his life. Because walking with God means having God at the center of your attention. Sharing life with God. Living life with God. Matthew 17:5. But even as he spoke, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. Listen to him, says God the Father about his son Jesus Christ when he was on earth. God enjoys, is excited to walk with you. Now, are you excited to walk with God? We should all be excited about our walk with God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, the word of God tells us about Enoch, the person, the patriarch, prophet that I read about in the beginning. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. He was known as a person who pleased God. Enoch was known for his walk with God. He has walked with God for a long time. Enoch, didn't you get bored to walk with God for 300 years? Wasn't that life boring? Cum e pe pământ? Cum e viața ta? Pe ca pe pământ, la toți ni greu. You know, you ask people, how is your walk with God? Difficult, man. It's difficult. I'm waiting for that day. Christians who are all waiting for that day. The only thing they think about is that day, that day, that day. What about today? What about tomorrow? What about next week? Don't you want to walk with God now? I mean, I know it's going to be great in heaven, but it's great to walk with God here on earth as well, amen? It's great to see his power, his strength, his love working in your life here on earth as well. When circumstances are sometimes difficult, it's still a beauty, a joy to walk with God, amen? We need to be excited to walk with God. God has chosen us to walk with him. Now, there is a danger as well. God has the power to choose because he is God, but he can also reject. God can choose, but God can also reject. How does this work? Well, there is people who start their walk with God, but don't finish with God. And again, brothers of some other churches might not believe what I just said. They think a little differently here, right? They say, that's impossible. You can't start with God and not finish with God, right? Again, we believe that you can start with God and then not finish with God. We have a lot of examples in Scripture. Korah, Dathan, Abiram, Demas, Saul, the king. People who started with God but haven't finished with God. Also, there is the possibility that people think they started with God, but they never really started with God, right? There is that possibility, of course, as well. In both cases, the walk with God for those people is, at a certain point, it becomes an illusion. It becomes an illusion. They think they walk with God, but they don't really walk with God anymore. Let's take a look at this person in Scripture, Korah, who was a contemporary of Moses. Korah had some fantastic privileges, if we want to call it like this. The circumstances that he lived in were amazing. Korah had one of the greatest leaders you could ever have. Moses was Korah's leader. Korah was part of a generation that witnessed so many miracles, I would say maybe more than any other generation in the Old Testament. I don't want to make mistakes, but they saw a lot of miracles. That generation of people saw, they were living day by miracles. Food from heaven, water from the rock, Jesus Christ, and so on. Paul speaks about that as well. Witnessed a lot of miracles. Then he heard God's voice in an audible way. I read about that earlier during worship. Then God's presence was in their midst, Israel's midst. So Korah was having God's presence in the midst. More than that, Korah had a very special calling. He was not just somewhere, you know, circling around the Israelites and making sure, you know, there is no bear and lion coming or something like that, you know, a gatekeeper or something. No, he was responsible for transporting the holy items, the items within the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant that represented God's presence. That was his job. He had a very special calling. But he didn't make it to the destination. He didn't make it into the land of Canaan. More than that, he was punished and rejected by God. The earth opened his mouth and swallowed Korah up. How did this came about? Well, it started with rebellion. Rebellion against the leader. Rebellion against Moses, along with 250 other leaders. Then we can see that there was a lot of pride in Korah's heart. Then in verse 19, Numbers chapter 16, we see discontent. We see grumbling. Kirtire. Ignorance. We see that he's becoming unrepentant. He doesn't want to repent. And then the time comes when God punishes Korah and the people that rebelled with him against the leader of God. They thought they walked with God. They even brought that incense. Let's see who God chooses. Illusion. They were not even walking with God anymore. God was walking with Moses. Moses was his servant. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to live in that illusion, thinking, I walk with God, but you don't. And you say, whoa, well, that's quite dangerous then. How can I check myself? Don't check by the circumstances around you. That's deceiving. You could be living around the most powerful revival. If there is no revival happening in your heart, you're lost. Your walk with God is an illusion. Look in your life. Because with Korah, we see very quickly, chapter 16, Numbers, read it at home, and you see quickly there was a lot of things wrong. There was a lot of things wrong if you just open your eyes and you're honest. You cannot fool God. As I mentioned, discontent, grumbling, ignorance, unrepentance, pride, rebellion. Things that should not be in the life of a Christian. Things that should not be in the life of someone who walks with God. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. It's so bitter to start with God and finish in darkness. It's so bitter to think that you walk with God, but then you're not. What sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil, that dark is light and light is dark, that bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Matthew 7, 22. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. You who break God's laws. God is the one who chooses, but God is also the one who can reject. But he wants to walk with us. He wants to walk close to us, and we shall walk with him. Amen? Let's see the next aspect. The next characteristic in the life of a Christian who walks with God is growth. The person who walks with God shall experience growth. Genesis 5:24. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You know, someone once said, and it was very beautiful, he said, you know, at the age of 65, Enoch, when he gave birth to Methuselah, started walking with God, right? And he walked with God for 300 years. He was walking with God so much, so long, that after 365 years, maybe, God said to him, you know what, Enoch? You're already much closer to my home. Why won't you come with me today? Don't go back down. You've walked so much with me. You're so close to my home. Just come to me. I like this analogy, this example. Of course, we don't see it like this in Scripture, but we know that Enoch walked with God for so long. And he was an amazing person of God. He was a prophet. He prophesied that Potopul will come, right? In our walk with God, we need to grow. Colossians chapter 2, verse 5. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him, or you must continue to walk in him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. So we see here quite some expressions of growth, four of them. You will grow down, you will build on, you will grow strong, and you will overflow. As a Christian, as a person who walks with God, you need to grow. When you walk with God, you naturally grow. How do you grow? 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. But whoever keeps my word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. But by this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. You analyze Christ's life. You read the Bible. You read the scripture. You see, how did Jesus talk? How did Jesus think? How did Jesus act? How did he respond? What was Jesus doing? How long was Jesus praying? And as you read about him, as you implement Christ's life in your life, you grow. You grow by taking Jesus as your example. The perfect example, amen? Then you grow through prayer. You want to grow in your walk with God? Spend time with him in prayer. The more time you spend with God, the more you will grow. Then you will grow by living out the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We heard about that already tonight, right? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Then Micah 6, 8. We grow by walking humbly with our God. Let me read this verse. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? And going back to the fruit of the Spirit. This fruit of the Spirit, as we heard, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let me pick just on one of them. Self-control. Self-control is what? Self-control is your brake, right? If you think in terms of a car, self-control are your brakes. How great are your brakes? You want to walk with God on the next level? You want to get a faster car, a better car? Check your brakes. You want to go on difficult terrain? Check your brakes. Because if you have that super nice car, you grow in other areas of your life, but your self-control is weak, you have those brakes of a bike on your car, you are gonna crash, and it's gonna be fatal. When we grow, we wanna make sure we grow in everything. Oh yeah, brother, I see, you're such a peaceful man. Well, you know what? You grow in peace, I'll grow in kindness, someone else maybe will grow in joy, because there are some people who are very joyful, very happy people, you know? Maybe someone else can grow in love, I'll grow in self-control. It doesn't work like this. We as Christians, we need to grow in everything, in the whole fruit of the Spirit, amen? So we cannot just grow in knowledge. Hebrews 5, verse 12. In fact, though, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Have you heard this passage before? Many times, right? We hear it very often. What is that solid food? What is that solid food? See, sometimes we're tempted to think that solid food is the scriptures, the secrets of scriptures, the things that only 5% of people understand. We have great teaching here in this church about the book of Revelation, right? But that's not what Paul is talking here about, solid food. Look, next verse. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. What's the solid food? Teaching about righteousness. Verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. What do those mature people do? They constantly know how to distinguish good from evil. The teaching of righteousness, doing what is right. You know what I personally believe? I believe that God doesn't only want you to grow in knowledge. God cares very much the way you grow also in your life, in the way you live your life, in the way you talk, in what you do, in how you relate to other people, in how much you love, how much kindness you show. And if all that is done from a sincere heart, why do I believe that? By the way Jesus was teaching and he was choosing his disciples. I believe that when we get to heaven, we're not going to get a test and see, let's see if you know what's written in verse 68 of Psalm 119. If you want to pass, if you want to come in. We see that in the parable in Matthew chapter 25, verse 26. But the master replied, and this is the parallel with the talents, where God gave to one 10 talents, to another 5, right? But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant, to the one who had one talent. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? What was Jesus' problem with this guy? The fact that he didn't know? No, he knew. But what he knew, he didn't do. God is upset with us if what we know we don't do. But God, I only got one talent. I mean, yeah, but that talent you can I say in Romanian because I'm sure. You can multiply. At least you can bring it to the bank and get some interest on it, right? That's what he said to him. You could have at least taken it to the bank. At least you have gotten some interest in it. But Lord, you gave to the other one 10 talents. Now you really care about that one talent? I mean, he multiplied another 10. God cares about it. And he's really upset with this person here who doesn't multiply his one talent. But you got so many profits from the other guy. You got another 10. Why does my talent make such a huge difference? To God, it does. To God, it does. We need to grow. And because if we don't grow, and this is again, and we get into the danger of this point. The thing that happens is stagnation. The thing that happens is complacency. Amos chapter 6, verse 1. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, to those who feel secure on the hill of Samaria. The danger of becoming complacent. The danger of becoming complacent. Why is being complacent and stagnating, why is that so bad? Why is that so bad when people become just super comfortable with their Christian life? Because if you look at these people, you know, and you know, I don't even need to talk about it like it would be someone else, because I see it in my own life so often. When I look at my complacency very often, you know, I might think, but God, I mean, you know, I'm doing a lot of stuff, you know. I'm praying more or less. Everyone, you know, thinks he's praying maybe very much. Or then someone might say, well, I read the scripture where, you know, I serve. But I feel like that's all I can do. You know, this is the range I feel comfortable at. After all, people maybe respond to leaders in churches, I'm a volunteer here. So please treat me nicely. You should be happy that I'm serving here. I could be serving somewhere else too. They're happy with even less of my service, because they have a lot of people. I don't need to cover that many areas. I don't need to cover that many ministries. Be happy. I like to be where I'm at. And I like to be happy. I like to be comfortable. There's many people who like to be comfortable. Right? And C.S. Lewis said something to them. He said this: I didn't go to religion to make me happy. I always knew a bottle of port would do that. I don't know port, but anyway. If you want a religion to make you feel really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity. If you want a religion to make you feel really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity. That's what C.S. Lewis said. And it's so true. Analyze your life. Look in your life. Are you still growing? Are you still growing, or did you have that big push in the beginning? Like a child who's becoming a teenager. And you grew, but then you became complacent. See, as people, we grow to a certain stature and then we stay like that. And then when we get old, we get a little smaller, right? As a Christian, what is supposed to happen with you? Are you at a certain point becoming complacent? Are you at a certain point stagnating? No, you grow until you meet the Lord. You keep growing, amen? So everyone can analyze. And you look back to your last year. You look back to your 5 years if you walk with God for longer. And analyze those years and see, how much have I grown? What are the things that make me become complacent? So, what are the signs of complacency? Well, some people, like I said, they just like to feel comfortable. They have a certain limit. They still cling on to this life. And it was mentioned tonight by Pastor Claudio how bad that is. Some people might think, you know, that's okay. It works out. You know, I'm doing good things, But firea pământească și Duhului Dumnezeu nu fac click, right? That's how you said it. They don't click. They don't work together. And at a certain point you realize, whoa, where am I in? What have I done? I thought this works out. Well, it doesn't. It destroys you. It destroys you. Another reason. Some people think, I'm mature already. I think that if I want to grow more, this is all loftiness. This is all just puffed up knowledge. I don't need to know all the details in Scripture, Would I want God to judge me on all those things? Why would I gather so much knowledge so that God has more things to judge me upon when the day comes? Either way, the essential part of being a Christian I already covered. If you think that growth is only done through knowledge, but then when you really desire to keep implementing the Word of God in your life, to keep living out the truth, you realize, I want more of this. I want to grow more. Wait, this passage never spoke to me in this way. You know, when you're in a relationship with someone, you realize after 5-6 years that you get to know them better and better. You realize after 7 years, I didn't even know this about you. How do you think it's with God? You read a passage, and then when you read it the 20th time, you're like, Lord, I didn't see it this way until now. Well, maybe because you got closer to God and God says, hey, come here. Let me show you something. I don't show this to everyone. But look at this. Look at this passage. Look at this passage. The beauty of being close relationship with God, of seeing His splendor, His beauty in His Word, and that seeing that in your life. Then, and I'm going to come to a close very soon, another sign of complacency, comparison with other Christians. Comparison with other Christians. But God, I mean, I'm doing a lot. I mean, if I compare myself to the other guys, they're not doing by much as I do. They don't by far as much as I do. How would have ever Abraham become who he was if he would have compared himself to his family? Did you think about David? If he would have compared himself to his brothers, would he have been the king he was? What about Joseph? If you keep comparing yourself to the Christians next to you, I don't know how far you're going to get. Maybe you're going to be happy very soon because, I mean, we live in difficult times where not many people love God as they loved God 100 years ago around the Azusa area, right? Maybe that doesn't happen so much anymore. So you can get satisfied pretty quickly. But if you want to walk with God and you say, I don't know how much people want to walk with you, Lord, but I want to walk with you. Totally different. Maybe you can become a Moses. Maybe you can become an Abraham. Maybe you can become a David or a Joseph if you really desire to walk with God. Complacency is bad. Complacency is bad because it leads to apathy. It leads to apostasy. You think, why is complacency bad? Because like I mentioned, you're doing the right things. Think about a child. For those of you in this place who are parents, if you have a child and it stops growing, or it grows only in one way, only one hand grows, the other part of the body doesn't grow. Like I mentioned, only growing in knowledge or only growing in something. You would be super worried as a parent, right? How do you think God feels knowing that He has all resources for you to grow? He gave you all resources for you to grow, and He's looking at your life, and you're just not growing. How does God feel? Think about that. So, recap real fast because it's late. Sorry about that. So, tonight we have heard about God's election. God has chosen you, and He loves you very much. But also, God has the power to reject. We have learned about the importance of growth when we walk with God and the danger of becoming complacent. So I pray to God that He will help us to grow. Amen? So that we can say, as it says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 22, and I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. You want to walk in heaven with Jesus one day? Then start now. Start here. And one day you'll walk with Jesus. Streets of heaven. Amen. May God help us all. God bless you.